young Russian woman recalled only as Miss Kacharova, took the course 3 times, and when she tried to enroll again, Oppenheimer refused to allow it. She went on a hunger strike, recalled Robert Serber, and forced her way in that way. For those who stuck it out, Oppenheimer found numerous ways to reward their hard work. One learned from him through conversation and personal contact, Leo Nadelsky said. When you took a question to him, he would spend hours, until midnight perhaps, exploring every angle with you. He invited a good number of his doctoral students to collaborate with him on papers, and he made sure they were listed as co-authors. It is easy for a famous scientist to have lots of students doing their dirty work for him, said one colleague.
But Oppie helps people with their problems and then gives them the credit. He encouraged his students to call him Oppie, the Dutch nickname he had acquired in Leiden. Robert himself began signing his letters with Oppie. Gradually, his Berkeley students anglicized O-P-J-E into O-P-P-I-E.
Over time, Oppenheimer developed a uniquely open teaching style in which he encouraged all of his students to interact with each other. Instead of holding office hours and seeing each student individually, he required his 8 to 10 graduate students and half-dozen postdoctoral fellows to meet together in his office in room 219 LeConte Hall. Each student had a small desk and chair where he or she sat and watched as Oppenheimer paced the room. Oppie himself had no desk, only a table in the middle of the room piled high with stacks of papers. A blackboard covered with formulae dominated one wall. Shortly before the appointed hour, these young men and the occasional woman would straggle in and wait for Oppie as they casually sat on the edge of a table or leaned against the wall. When he arrived, he zeroed in on each student's particular research problem in turn and solicited comments from everyone. Oppenheimer was interested in everything, Serber recalled, and one subject after another was introduced and coexisted with all the others. In an afternoon, we might discuss electrodynamics, cosmic rays, and nuclear physics. By focusing on the unsolved problems in physics, Oppenheimer gave his students a restless sense of standing on the edge of the unknown. Very soon it was clear that Oppie had become a Pied Piper of theoretical physics. Word spread around the country that if you wished to enter this field, Berkeley was the place to do it. I didn't start to make a school, Oppenheimer later said. I didn't start to look for students. I started really as a propagator of the theory which I loved, about which I continued to learn more, and which was not well understood but which was very rich. In 1934, 3 of the 5 students awarded National Research Council fellowships in physics that year chose to study under Oppenheimer. And yet, while they came for Oppenheimer, they came as well for an experimental physicist named Ernest Orlando Lawrence.